for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, 3:15 p.m., February the 15th, 2014. Joey McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on pain.
Well, Sister Jerry McGee is going to come.
Praise the Lord.
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 Well, I'm going to teach on pain, and that's something that we can all have. You know, I don't feel any pain with having an eye problem that I'm healed from and waiting for the manifestation of the healing. I don't feel any pain, but it's painful to have an eye problem or skin cancer, even though maybe you don't feel it. But there's physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, sexual pain, emotional pain. Sometimes people go to the doctor and the doctor can't find where the pain is, can't find the cause because it's in their emotions. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to make my words like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the good shepherd. Father, I pray for extraordinary wisdom, knowledge, insight, dreams, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems like you gave Daniel. We want that kind of wisdom, Lord, because we need a lot of help. In Jesus' name. Pain comes out of vexation of heart. If you have pain in your body, it's an alarm system telling you that you've got something spiritually wrong with your body. But what we usually do is you run to the doctor and say, I have a pain here, I have a pain there, I feel pain all over. And all they do is they medicate it, and you can't medicate a demon. And I know when I first started traveling years ago, this arm here, this arm was so sore that I could not even get it this high. So I did a word study on arm. And I saw that I had gotten into arm of the flesh when my son was dying with AIDS. And now had I went and had that medicated, I'd still have an arm problem. And then I'd have something else and something else and something else in my age. But I've learned that when I have pain or when I have anything wrong or any kind of circumstance, to go to God and find out what He's trying to teach me in that pain or in that problem. And so vexation, Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So according to that scripture, pain is coming out of vexation of heart. Vexation means anger. It means wrath. It means sorrow. It means provocation. It means hurt. And it means idolatry. It's idolatry because in your pain or in your problem, you go to something else and you don't go to God. With your vexation, you're turning to something else or something to cope or something to protect your heart, and you're not turning to God. And so it's rooted in idolatry. And so God says, remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. And if you can find where it came in, then you can be healed. And a few days ago, in fact, it was last Monday, God worked the biggest miracle. My neighbor, who had his wife told me about 2 weeks ago that he was going to have to go. He broke his neck about 2 or 3 years ago, and he went into the doctor kind of put a plate somehow in his neck and put a screw there, and that's what was holding his neck. But he had been in pain for years and years and years. And so she said he was going to have to go into the VA hospital, and they were going to open up his spine and grind some bones and put a metal rod in his neck. And even after 5 years, he might have only turned his neck like that. Well, I so grieved over this man. I thought, oh, dear Lord, if he comes out of that surgery, it'd be a miracle, or if he's not paralyzed when they start messing with your spine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was just a fleeting thought that went through my head, which was seemed like it was totally out of the question. But I just said, Lord, if I can help that man, I pray you set up some kind of divine setup. Well, he was supposed to have surgery last Monday, so I called his wife to see how he was doing, and our church had been praying for him. And I called her to see how the surgery went on Monday, and she said, oh, the doctor called and said this was way over his head. He didn't feel comfortable doing the surgery. He needed some more medical opinions and some more doctors to be involved with him. So the doctor postponed the surgery. So I just told the wife, I said, well, if I can come over and minister deliverance to him, I will. And so he was outside. He came in. And she said, do you want Jerry to come minister deliverance to you? And he said, no. So I thought, well, that's my answer. Hung up. No problem. Say, take the day off. I never mind if someone doesn't want prayer, okay? But I had told the Lord, if you set this up, you'll have to tell me what to do. And I'm going to tell you what happened, because those of you who are ministering, this will help you minister to other people. That's the only right reason I'm telling you this. God is the healer. He did it. I'm not the least bit tempted to take any glory, because if you ever do, God won't ever do anything through you, because He's going to get all the glory. Anyway, about a week before all this, I told his wife, I said, I'm getting the word stubborn, stiff neck. I said, has he ever been stubborn, stiff neck? She said, oh, we're both stubborn, stiff neck. I said, well, the scripture that came to me when I was praying for y'all yesterday was that a man who hardens his neck after much reproof shall suddenly be broken beyond remedy. And so, anyway, he said he didn't want prayer. And then that was okay. And I said, I'm not offended at all. And so she called me right back and said, he said that if you would not wear any perfume, he would like for you to pray for him. So I had all my dog clothes on, except I had one jacket that had a little perfume on. And I was didn't have any deodorant, no makeup, no nothing. And so, anyway, so when I went to his house, they were the daughter said, well, smell me and see if I have it. And he finally, I said, well, I'll go home and see if I can find something else that doesn't have perfume on it. And he said, well, just take your jacket off and come and pray. This man had broken, he had been a Vietnam veteran, been cursed by the Buddhist monks, which they curse you with alcoholism, they curse you with poverty, with relationships, with depression, wandering, never amounting to anything, failure. Anyway, also he was a victim of Agent Orange, or if I'm saying that right, I don't know. But anyway, the first time I said, well, let's go with the first thing that ever happened to you. Well, he broke his back in some kind of a tank. And so I led him to forgive and broke soul ties. Now, something about a soul tie that I don't think many people know is that through a soul tie, it's a connection in the spirit that you cannot see with the human eye. A soul tie can be, and Chris has a book that says it can be like a thread, like a string, like a rope, and like a cable, depending on the depth of sin that a person's involved with a person. And through soul ties, you can carry the sicknesses, the diseases, the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. If anybody hits you and you let the sun go down on your anger and you don't forgive them, 50 years later, you're wondering why your face hurts or your back hurts or your stomach hurts where you got punched, but you don't relate it to a soul tie. You go to medical and say, doctor, I've got a stomach ache or my face hurts. And it's like they're still stuck. Through sexual sin, you're still stuck to whoever you had sexual sin with. Anybody that's abused you, hit you, threw you up against a wall. A few days ago, a girl that's in my Bible study said, I woke up and my back of my head hurts. I emailed her back. I said, has anybody ever hit you there? She texted me back. She said, my mother used to hit me behind the head and my ex-husband. And she said, thank you, I know what to do. She'd been in my Bible study. Then she emailed me back and she said, I don't have any pain, thank you. But anyway, back to this man. So I started ministering the first time he broke his back. The second time he fell backwards and somebody through their error. So I led him to forgive, broke soul ties. And so I just kept breaking soul ties with everybody he had ever hit, hurt, or hit him, hurt him. And this went on, just breaking soul ties. And then when he broke his neck, forgive the doctor, you know, for messing up the job. And I led him in repentance of hardening his neck after much reproof. I broke the Buddhist curses off of him. His wife said that everybody in his family was stubborn, stiff-necked, and perverse. I explained to him about a perverse spirit is a crooked spirit. Perverse means stubborn to do evil. Steadfast means stubborn to do righteousness. And so I just kept leading him in repentance. And this was the sweetest man. And when I got almost through, I said, how do you feel now? He said, well, I do feel better. But he said, I've got pain. I've always had pain. He said, I've done so many bad things in my life. I just really deserve it. I said, if you made a vow that you were going to punish yourself through this pain, have you resolved yourself to the fact that you've got this pain and you're going to keep it and this is your way you punish yourself? I said, that's saying the blood of Jesus is no good. Led him in repentance, and every pain left his body. He had no pain. Yes. And then his wife said, I have asthma. And I said, well, you know that's rooted in fear. How did you grow up? And she said, my daddy used me as his sexual slave in place of my mother my whole life. And he said, and I said, well, did you tell your mother? Yes, but she blamed me. I said, you have to forgive him. She said, mm-mm. I said, you know what? If you don't forgive, you can't get deliverance. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. So I said, forgiveness is a choice. You choose to forgive. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to want to. You don't have to think it's right. You choose to forgive because you love Jesus more than you love the demon of unforgiveness. Led her to forgive him, broke soul ties. Now this, you know, people go through therapy for years and years and years for this kind of thing. Broke soul ties. And she said, I can breathe. I can breathe. This is the first time I've been able to breathe. She said, I felt like something was on my chest my whole life. And so in praying for her, I took the sword of the Spirit and I cut her daddy off her body, pulled her out of his mouth, and cut his hands and his body parts from her. The devil tormented me all night. They didn't really get healed when I went home. The next morning I called them. I said, how do y'all feel? She said, this is the first night of good sleep we've had in years. And it was some breaking soul ties. Leading in repentance, forgive, and to break soul ties. And so I see this happen all the time, and I share a lot of these things because there's been story after story after story for 32 years that I could share about breaking soul ties and seeing people instantly healed. But the ones you hear over and over are the ones I remember the best. So if you've heard some of these, then just, you know, have mercy on me. A lady called me. She was a lady preacher, and she said, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. Do you have any insights? Don't even know this lady. I said, well, and this was totally the Holy Spirit. I said, well, when you grew up, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on the hip? She said, yeah, how did you know? She said, my mother was sick and I had to carry, you know how you'll carry babies on your hip? And so hip problems is rooted in not being nurtured, not being held, having to hold brothers and sisters. Anyway, and I said, now you're a pastor. I said, you were trained up to carry everybody. I said, now you're a pastor and you're carrying your whole congregation. Because however you're trained up is how your life goes. Until you break it, till you take accountability, till you forgive, till you deal with it at the cross. And she said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. It was just the truth that set her free. A lady up in Michigan said, I had surgery recently and I've had pain in my private parts ever since. I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? She said, yes. So I led her to just, between her and God, repent of all the sexual sin. repent of fornication, because see, until you break soul ties, they're still up inside of you. Their mouth is still on you. Their body parts are still on you. And so when she got through, I led her to repent, broke soul ties, and the pain left her private parts. I said, they're still up inside of you through soul ties. Another man who hosted many, many seminars for me in the Austin area, he came out of a homosexual lifestyle, and he was a godly man. God delivered him from bipolar just through, you know, sitting under the Word and repenting and forgiving. But he emailed me one day and said, I have an excruciating pain in my rectum. Do you have any insight? And I said, yes. It was the Holy Spirit. I said, break soul ties with anyone that hurts you there. Within 15 or 20 minutes, he emailed me back and said, the minute he broke soul ties with a certain individual, he was instantly healed. And so pain is rooted in emotional, physical, mental, sexual pain. Velma, who had bone cancer, she had liver cancer, bone cancer, breast cancer, because she kept on repenting and forgiving and breaking soul ties, she died pain-free when she had three broken bones in her back. And she was the lady that used to come here. And that was a miracle. My son Todd died. When he died of AIDS, the nurse said, people with homosexuals die such a painful death that even with morphine, they have to be tied to the bed. And my son died in total peace because he kept forgiving and kept breaking soul ties. And that encourages me that we don't have to live a life of pain. Jesus bore our pain at Calvary, our grief, our pain, our sorrow, and by his stripes we're healed. Goodness. Anyway, I'm not going to share anymore. I will show that. There's a big football player from the University of Texas, and he said, I have migraine headaches. And I mean, his head was this big. He was huge, just like my new grandson is this big. And he's one of the small ones. Anyway, I said, well, you're using your head as a weapon. And you know, they teach you to be mean. They want you to be mean, hit people. You hit people with your head, you're using your head as a weapon. He said, that makes so much sense. He broke soul ties and God healed his headache. And let me see if there's any here. There was a lady in Bridge City that had Parkinson's disease. And she said, I said, does anyone else in your family have it? She said, yeah, my sister. Well, how do you feel about your sister? Oh, she's hurt me so bad. Led her to forgive, broke soul ties, and she instantly stopped. See, things can be transferred. You become like who you judge. You know, the best the world can do is to try to manage your pain. And really, they're putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. And the medicine they give you, one of the side effects is suicide. And the man that had come out of the homosexual lifestyle, he said that even with medication, he was depressed. And him and his little boy was bipolar, and the little boy was kicked out of the first grade for threatening to kill six teachers. And so they brought him to a seminar, and Kyle came up to the podium when I was teaching, and he said, Mom, all that kid needs is a good whipping. I said, well, why don't you go instruct the daddy? He did. Well, you know, the psychiatrist said, oh, don't spank him. You know, that's going to bruise his little psyche or something. I don't know. I said, I ought to bruise his little psyche already. All right. He jabbed somebody with a pencil. He punched somebody else. But last time I saw this boy, he's like this and just the sweetest, kindest boy. But after 3 months, they were both delivered from bipolar. And the little boy said, Dad, let's quit our medication. And so they did. And I don't tell people to quit your medication. Personally, I don't take medication. And I don't say this to glorify myself, but it's the truth that sets us free. When I had the flu and green crud for a whole week, I took nothing. And finally, the Lord gave me a lesson in having compassion on people that took things. My friend would buy the. It got to the place where at the very end, this is, you're going to think this is funny, But it got to the very end when I couldn't hardly sit up. I couldn't lay down. It was like, you know, if you have a menstrual period, how you throb. That's the way I fit. And I thought, I'll look for an aspirin. My aspirin expired in the year 2000. and then I looked for some Advil. And that expired in 2008. So I started to call Kyle to come over and bring me something. I said, I need something here. This is where God humbled me to show me, you know, when you're in pain, you'll do a lot of things. That was a part of my Holy Ghost realignment. But anyway, so I didn't want to wake Kyle up and Gretchen up. So I got in my car and I drove. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I drove up to the ice station. I thought, this night air is the best I felt. And I went up to the gas station and got a bottle of Advil. I took one Advil and slept like a baby the rest of the night. But see, God, He wasn't answering those binding prayers because he wanted to teach me some humility in that area. He didn't let nothing work because he wanted me to have to humble myself. Anyway, but anything else, you know, people say you better take antibiotics with your leg. It was totally God totally healed me. And I can thank the Lord for that and give him the glory. But most people my age are so medicated, they don't know what town they're in. I'm serious. Every medication has a side effect that becomes another disease and requires another medication to manage that medication. So that's between you and God. So if you have pain, it's God telling you there's something spiritually wrong in your body. Indigestion is coming most of the time out of bitterness. With me, I had dealt with all the bitterness stuff, but mine was coming out of caffeine. Because what it does to your adrenal glands, it shuts down your adrenal glands to where they don't produce the proper hormones and stuff for digestion. It causes weight gain. And all your body produces is cortisol, which keeps you in a flight or fight mode. Anyway, you know, if you have pain, and the location of your pain has a lot to do with what you're bitter about. Like if you have pain in your feet, it could be bitterness because of the way your life has gone, bitter towards your path. I know people that have arthritis in their hands because they're bitter toward ministry, toward pastors, toward churches, toward the people that they've hurt with their hands or the things they've done with their hands. And so God heals us, but we have to meet his conditions. God says remove vexation from our heart and we can put pain out of our body. And God's made provision for our pain at Calvary. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, which means pain, and acquainted with grief, which is sickness, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, our sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows, our pain, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And the New Testament confirms this Old Testament verse in at least two places. One place is 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we're healed. And I want you to notice there's two steps there before we're healed. Die to sin and live to righteousness. Sickness is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, if you have sickness in your body, there is a curse working in the area of that sickness. And so you have to find the cause of the curse. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot alight. So I've learned when something is wrong, and I just laid there and prayed. When I was sick, I just talked to God all week. And it was nice. My daughter-in-law said, well, how did you wake up without caffeine? I said, when you sleep 7 days, 24 hours a day, you're rested. So I thank the Lord for that. And, you know, I think, I'm not going to say that. Matthew 8:16-17 says, and when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast them out, the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our sicknesses. And so let God be true and let every man be a liar. Jesus is the great physician. And we say we're trusting the great physician, but we're really not. We're double-minded. We've got one foot in the world and one foot with the doctor. And so we can't be double-minded. God says a double-minded man receives nothing. If you have pain in your bowel area, that has to do with emotions. In your head, has to do with authority issues. It depends. In your arms, it has to do with lots of things, but arm of the flesh, turning a stubborn shoulder to the Lord, wearing yokes. Neck problems can be yokes that other people put on you, yokes you put on yourself. And there's only one yoke that fits our neck, and that's the yoke of Jesus. It's light and easy, and we find rest for our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Go, if you will. And this is not to say that, you know, there's many godly people that die. It's not to say that they don't love the Lord because they died or they didn't get healed. But God said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. That's the reason, because it's the truth that sets me free. And if I keep seeking God for truth, I'll be set free.
But right after it says they rejected it.
Yes, and they rejected it. And you know people that are open to truth, and you know people that are closed. You know what I'm saying? You know people that you can share with and that are open. But there's other people that are closed. They're not ready for truth. So you just have to pray for them that God will make them open to truth. But my people perish for the lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge. I know some people, so many people right now that could be healed in an instant. I know one particular lady and I'm not making fun of her, but she's limping like this. She was molested her whole life. I tried to get her to come here. She's not ready to deal with the pain that's down in her life. So she's taken some form of chemo for the arthritis in her feet. Bitter toward her path. And she's a precious, wonderful lady. Lord, I ask you to touch her right now. I don't have to name her name. You know who you are, who she is. I ask you to bless her and heal her. And Lord, I pray you meet the deepest needs of her heart. In Jesus' name. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 8, please. My husband used to say please. It sounds like you're being bossy. So I say please. Jeremiah 8:8. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord is bringing, you know, Kelly was talking about praying in tongues. I want to add something to that. I do that, but I don't ask. I ask God whatever. I pray that whatever this person sees, hears, I mean, whatever they see, hear, let them see, hear, experience, whatever would bring greater glory to the Lord. For your glory, Lord, I pray in tongues that you be glorified in their life. Well, he's going to answer that prayer every time. And we don't even know what we're praying when we're praying in tongues. But it builds us up in our most holy faith. Okay, Jeremiah 8:8. I can find the verse here. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes. You see, we've been taught doctrines of demons. Less than one half of 1% of people truly believe in divine healing. People say they do, but they don't really because they're trusting the world to heal them. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I'm speaking the truth. And you know it's the truth, and you may not ready to hear it. And I might not have been ready to hear it either years ago. But it's the truth. Okay, it says, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give them wives. I'll give their wives to other people, their fields to new owners, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone practiced deceit, and they hear the brokenness, and they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially. And that's exactly what goes on today. Saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be broken down, declares the Lord. I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine. And let's jump down to 18. My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen to the cry of the daughter of my people from the distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion? In other words, is Jesus not in the church? Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not within her? Why have they provoked me with their graven images, with foreign idols? Harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. There is no balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? Because sin is not preached against today. And you can pray all day long, but if sickness is a curse, if you don't find the cause of the curse, they're not going to be healed, because we have demons because of sin in our life. And we're not healed because of sin. I told this man, I said, now if you feel pain tomorrow or the next day, that doesn't mean you didn't get healed of what you had. It just means it's like peeling an onion. There's another layer that you look for. You know, the scripture says, he sent his word to heal you. 3 John 3 says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So our health and prosperity is in the proportion to a prospering soul. And you don't get a prospering soul by going to some of these revivals or listening to TBN or but you get a prospering soul through being in the Word of God and taking it to heart. And that's what I do, is I repent over the Word as I read it, and I get delivered as I read it. And I've been doing self-deliverance since I realized I could do this in 1988. On an ongoing basis. When a problem comes up, I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I deal with it, and I get delivered. Every day is something. And I can tell you, because of that, God is, by His grace, causing my life to change from glory to glory to strength to strength. But we just can't resolve yourself that this, you know, I'm getting old and this is the way it is. God wants to use you. Moses was 80. When God started to use him, 120 years old, his strength was not abated, nor was his eye dim. And he was humble, and I'm working on humble. Still working on that one. Okay, Proverbs 14:8 says, the prudent are crowned with knowledge. That means in the spirit realm, we've got a crown. That demons can see the crown of knowledge on our head. Prudent means you watch your path and you turn from evil. Job was a righteous man because he feared God and turned away from evil. When he saw sin, he turned from it. And that's what God expects you and I to do. We're not perfect. We're all a work in progress. But when we see sin in our life, we stop doing it. You know, I can remember 4 times that I've been sick over the last... Well, since I was in college. And the last two times I was delivered from caffeine because for a whole week I slept. When I say I'm sick, I can't go. But I always went back to caffeine because I wanted to. But this time I said, Lord, I give you that as a sacrifice, never again to do that. When I saw it, I turned. And so, you know, don't just see things that are wrong with you and just keep on doing it. Stop it. Your will is stronger than a demon's will. Not than a demon's will, but your will is stronger than a demon. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts with knowledge. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. He sees the path that's evil. He goes the way of righteousness. He chooses the right way. Nikki Pinson has a teaching on righteousness, and it means that you choose to do right in every situation. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent see the evil and they hide themselves. But it says, but the fool goes on and suffers for it. So are we wise or are we a fool? And it's all by God's grace. It's God's grace that makes you want God. But I think it was Jean. That was an excellent message, Jean. I think Jean was saying how the grace of God, I forgot how she said it, but she said something. In other words, when you're willing to do this, God meets you. How did you say that, Jean? Anyway, I will. Thank you that you let me have that CD. I did listen. Proverbs. Yes. Proverbs 22:3. The prudence. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the price. Like a prudent person is that they look all around and they watch, and they don't just make foolish choices. They're careful to search out the path. 1 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Our health will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And our souls are not prospering. We should be prospering every day. We should be in the Word every day and letting our soul prosper. And in Proverbs, I don't know where the scripture is, but I think it's Proverbs 24, but I'm not sure. But it says knowledge increases power. You want power with God, you got to know more of God's Word. That's where it comes from. It comes from God. He's the healer. It's all by His grace. Unless it's our time to go, we're indestructible. You can't even die till you're ready, till God's ready for you. So learn to look for the spiritual roots to your problems. And so healing will come as we align ourselves with the Word, unless God wants to take us on to heaven. And if He does, hey, you miss Obamacare. Personally, you know what? I honestly believe that's a judgment on the church because we have made doctors gods. The Bible says the folly of a fool is his discipline. You overeat, you're going to gain weight. You go take your credit cards and you go charge up your credit cards, and guess what? You're in debt. Your folly has disciplined you. My son's homosexual lifestyle disciplined him. AIDS. You see, when you're in covenant with God and you violate God's covenant, and you as parents or those of you who are parents, and our children violate God's law, God says, I'll visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities with stripes, but I will not deal falsely with my covenant. But what we do is when God starts disciplining our kids, we run up, oh, no, no, God, oh, pay his rent. Oh, get him, support his drugs. And we become their savior, and so as long as we're their savior, God steps back and lets you just take the licks. So, praise the Lord. So if you're enabling your kids, stop it, because they're never going to change until you change. Proverbs So the Word has a lot to say about pain. I've had people tell me that when they took psychiatric medicine, they were so numbed out that they wouldn't have cared if their best friend or their mother had died. Okay, here's some scriptural reasons for pain. One is spiritual adultery and leading others to play the harlot. 2 Chronicles 21:19. Now it came about in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels came out because of his sickness, and he died in great pain, and his people made no fire for him like the fire of his fathers. Now, what he had done is lead Israel into sin. You know, when Todd, my son, got out of the hospital, he had a constant, like, diarrhea at the first part. And I led him in repentance for a spiritual adultery, because he had been baptized 3 times. And when you give your heart to Jesus and then you go and follow other lovers, you become a spiritual adulterer. And that's what he was. And so he repented, and in the very beginning, he was healed from that because of that sin. Proverbs 6:27, because of a harlot can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned, or can he walk on hot coals and his feet not burn? So if you have burning feet, it could be because of spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry, or physical adultery or harlotry. The next thing is knowledge that is increasing. You know, the more, if we deal with our issues, God gives us more wisdom, but there's the pain and suffering in turning from those things. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:18, because in much wisdom there's much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. And so, through life experiences, you'll either let those experiences make you better, or you'll become bitter. And bitterness will kill you. You know, if somebody hurts you, and you have till sundown to forgive them, and you don't forgive them by sundown, the next day it's unforgiveness, and then it turns into bitterness. And bitterness is the cause of arthritis, cancer, many, many diseases caused by bitterness. Bill Gothard says this, and I don't know where he got the information, but I trust his spirituality and his integrity so much. But he says germs won't even live in your body unless there's bitterness. Greetings. Forgetting the God of your salvation, Isaiah 17:10. For we have forgotten the God of your salvation. You have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore, you plant delightful plants and set them with vine snips to a strange God. In that day, you plant it, you carefully fence it in, your idol, and it is in the morning you bring your seed to blossom, but the harvest will be a heap in a day of sickliness and incurable pain. So be repenting over these. Not obeying or listening to God's voice. Jeremiah 6:19-24. Hear, O earth, behold, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. Jeremiah 24, we have heard the report of it. Our hands are limp. Anguish has seized us. Pain as of a woman in childbirth. The next thing is idolatry. And anything that pushes your button, anything that depresses you, anything that makes you fearful, anything that you let discourage you is idolatry. In fact, First Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is idolatry, so all sin. But you can know you have an idol if you get your button pushed when you don't get it, or if you fear you're going to lose it if you have it, or fear you won't get it if you don't have it. So don't allow fear in your life. When fear comes, okay, Lord, how'd they get there? Deal with it. Don't allow anger in your heart. Lord, how'd I get there? Chris said this, and I think this was so good when he was alive. He said that idols are connected to hot wires. And that's true. So you have to dismantle those hot wires. Why did that make me angry? Why did that bother me? Why is that a button pusher? You know, button pushers work like this. Either you're an explosive person, you're having a happy day, and somebody pushes your button and you just, you just blow up. Or you're a kind of person that you can just feel it going, and it stops right here. That's a wounded spirit. And God wants to heal those things. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live with that stuff. And it's all by His grace. Go to Titus chapter 2. You know, grace has become so perverted, but God has something to say about grace and what it does. Go to Titus 2. Titus 2 says, grace has something to say. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And of course, we know that's those that will receive Him. It's there offered to you. It's your choice. Instructing us. Now, grace instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who Himself gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. That's His purpose. And to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Now that's what grace has to say. It's God's grace that you know anything. It's God's grace that you have a brain. It's God's grace that you have a roof over your head. It's God's grace that you love Him. It's God's grace that gives you the ability. Grace is the ability to not sin. You have a choice. You know, God delivered me, and I'm still chunky, but He's delivered me from a food thing. And when I know I'm not supposed to eat something that I shouldn't eat, I just say, Lord, I give that to You as a sacrifice. And then I wouldn't dare take it back. Sometimes I want it, I say it so fast that I know I'm not going to take it back. I'd be tempted, I say, Lord, I give that to You as a sacrifice. And I wouldn't dare take it back. And I can tell you, since God taught me that, I haven't took it back not one time, and that's by God's grace. So it works with alcohol. It works with anything that you're wanting that you shouldn't do or shouldn't have or shouldn't drink or shouldn't eat or shouldn't get involved in sexual sin. If you practice adultery and fornication and sexual sin, even if you practice anger, God says you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Anger, don't allow those things in your life. Keep on getting delivered till they're gone. And He doesn't deliver everything at once. Dear Lord, we couldn't take it. But it's a process of changing from glory to glory as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling by God's grace. Or being a worldly church member. Jeremiah 51:8. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she will be healed. The next thing is rebellion. Lamentations 1:12. Is it nothing to all of you who pass this way? Look and see. Is there any pain like my pain? Which was severely dealt out to me, which the Lord inflicted on me in the day of His fierce anger. In verse 18, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against His command. Hear now, all people, and behold my pain. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. And see, God uses the demons to discipline us. If we're in covenant with Him, we break God's covenant. And go to Hebrews 9. He will never break His covenant with you. Never. But we can break covenant. And when we do, we get a whipping. Okay? So go to Hebrews chapter 9. 16. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. Well, is God saying, I want you to go out and commit suicide? No. Go to Romans 12:1, and you'll see how you die. Romans 12:1, it says, I urge you, therefore, beloved brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body to me as a living sacrifice, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So when I present my body to God as a living sacrifice, that is how I keep covenant with Him, is continue to die daily, minute by minute. I know people that say, I wish I could go back to when I was 20 years old. Not me. God, dear Lord. You know, people that say that are my age, they say that, they've never overcome anything. If you overcome, who wants to go back to drug addiction? Who wants to go back to weight problems? Yeah, who wants to go back to your husband leaving you and your kid dying and another husband leaving you? Everybody abandoning you. I might not make it next time. So I thank the Lord for everything I've gone through. I told somebody once, I said, you know, everything I've gone through, God's worked it for good. And this person said, not me. What I've gone through has ruined me. If I can find this scripture, I think it's in Isaiah. It's saying, when the earth experiences thy judgments. Oh, Lord, where is that scripture? I'm going to look for it here. It's Isaiah. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm glad I have somebody here else that can help me. Isaiah 26. It says, 26 verse 9. It says, for when the earth experiences thy judgments, in other words, when people go through trials, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness, God's children. Though the wicked are shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. So you're going to become better or bitter. You'll get conformed into the image of Christ. Every time you take a problem to God and deal with it His way, you get conformed more into the image of Christ. And that's the purpose of the trial. Everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose. If you let that thing for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. It'll work for your good only if you let it conform you into the image of the Son by dealing with it. Otherwise, He'll say everything works together for good to those that love the Lord. Not so. Not unless you let it conform you into the image of His Son. And that's where more glory comes. Or the next thing is having a Philistine spirit. And you know, they worship Dagon. The Philistines were warlike. You never know what a hick you are till you talk into a cell phone that auto rides. I am such a hillbilly. When I say kennel, it's channel. It's helping me learn English. And if you noticed, it doesn't like holy words. It's so demonic. One day this voice came on and said, can I help you? And I said, who are you? And she said, I'm Siri. I said, are you a demon or a human? She said, that's kind of a personal question. And I said, well, you must be a demon. She said, well, you're entitled to your own opinion. I said, how can I get you off my phone? She gave me the number of AT&T. Oh, goodness. And so a Philistine, they're warlike. They're uncircumcised of heart. God tells us to circumcise our heart through continuous repenting. They were God's enemies. Intensely righteous. You know, a religious spirit is all for show. Yes, and wanting attention, that's what the Pharisees did. They worship Dagon and Ashtoreth, Ishtar, the goddess of propagation. I hope I'm saying that right. They had a sanctuary to Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They wallowed, it says in Zechariah 9:5, Ashlakon, which was a Philistine city, will see it and be afraid. Gaza, too, will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, for the expectation has been confounded. Their expectation has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashlakon will not be inhabited. They had hemorrhoids, plagues, deadly confusion, desolation, not inhabited. You know, people that want to fight all the time, could that be a Philistine spirit? You know, Dagon was represented by half fish and half man, and that opens us up to water spirits. 1 Samuel 17, it says Goliath had a shield bearer, and he was a Philistine. And it says, you know, in the negative, in the Bible, there's God's shield, the shield of faith. But the opposite, the negative shield, means a strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. And so Goliath had a shield bearer that was the strong, scaly hide of a crocodile, representative of Satan. And so, you know, when we rear up in our pride and we try to defend ourselves and we try to take up for ourselves and try to defend ourselves, we're not using God's shield of faith. We're using that strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. We're using the wrong shield. So make sure the shield you're using is the shield of faith. The next thing is worshiping the beast, Revelation 16:10. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. So there could be wickedness coming down upon us because we worship the beast. I'm convinced that a lot of these revivals that they're calling holy revivals are worshiping the beast. The music is not ushering in the presence of the Lord. With all that drumming, sometimes I can't even listen to a song today that's made by any. You go buy a CD, there's so much drumming and so much demonic music that they're calling worship. That is not worship in bringing in holy God. Y'all may think I'm just an old lady and that's how I think, but I thank God for James' music. Yes, and my son Kyle, the worship, true worship. But when you can't hear the melody, it's not God's music. When the drum beat and the electric guitars are so loud that you just want to scream, I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord brings me into peace. And anybody that can listen to that and think that that's bringing them into peace, they don't know what peace is. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. I live out in the country, and I'm telling you, God's presence is there. People come and they say, I can feel God's presence on this land. And when you live in total peace and you get into some of that stuff, I can't stand it. I don't think God can stand it. God wants us to worship Him, adore Him, love Him, honor Him, exalt Him. And a lot of these places, that music is ushering in the beast. The next thing is unforgiveness. God says in Matthew 18, you'll be turned over to the tormentors, which means the pain of disease. It means inquisitor, and it means tormentors. And sometimes, you know, God uses the pain, if we're wise, to get our attention. My old daddy used to say, when you go through a problem, God's just tapping you on the shoulder. Job 5:18 says, for he, God, inflicts pain and he gives relief. He wounds and his hands heal. And he disciplines every son whom he loves. Thank God for his discipline. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. What does that mean? It means that if I let God correct me, I really love what He's doing in my life that's for my good. So, you know, I could go on. Well, let me just see. There's things that we grieve over. Grief. Stuffed emotions. People, some of you have been sexually molested or raped. Our own failures. That's been my greatest grief, of my own failures. The failures of others to live up to our expectations. We grieve over divorce, being abandoned, not being nurtured, loved or cared for, being sexually, verbally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically abused. Having to be the mommy and the daddy, the caretaker of the family. A person that has to be the mommy or dad, they have a hard time resting. They're very responsible. I'm going to use Tammy as an example. She grew up having to be the mama. She is so responsible because you have to be the mommy. But praise God, God's getting that all healed. And she's learning to rest and learning to trust authority. Praise the Lord. Being the caretaker. Carrying other people's loads. You know, if you've been trained up to carry loads, they're still on your back and it's causing pain. I know another lady that she said, I've got arthritis in my back. We were ministering to her. And she said, when I was a little girl, my mother and dad put heavy loads on my back. So she forgave and God healed her back when she broke soul ties. Not being allowed to express your feelings. Having to stuff it. Having to hold everything in. And that can be a pain in your bowel area or emotions. Being a person that stuffs your emotions. Not being able to share your feelings. See the bitterness of not being able. God wants us. You know, God told me years ago when I used to think, I can't share my heart with my husband because it makes him mad. And then one day, and then you suffer for a month or two where he won't forgive you. And so I thought, you know, I just couldn't share how I felt. And one day the Lord said, if you can talk to me and tell me your problems, you should be able to tell your authorities problems. And what if they don't like it, that's their problem between you, them and me. So I started sharing my heart. I know it's hard for you to believe that I wouldn't share my heart. But, you know, I read that scripture that women can win their husbands without a word. So, about 6 months, boom! stuff it, like nail a board over your mouth, and there it goes. And then you say things that you shouldn't say. No, then you can't take back. Being rejected, being controlled, or being a person who is controlling. Can't read my own writing here. Not having your physical needs met. We talked about that in the orphan spirit. Grief can waste away your eyes. What are you grieving about? Can be one of the roots to eye problems. Grief means numbness, dumbness, sickness, which is also tied in with bitterness. And bitterness also means terminal death. You see, another word for Lucifer in Revelations was wormwood, which means bitterness. Jesus is sweet. The bride is sweet. It says in Song of Solomon, your mouth, my darling, is sweet. That's the bride's mouth. But when we have a bitter mouth, we're manifesting the character and nature of Satan, Lucifer. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. So I had to forgive my youngest son for being a grief. Kyle has never been nothing but a blessing to me his whole life. But the other son was nothing but a grief. But I had to forgive him for being a grief to me. Proverbs 70:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So there's bitterness. Job 17:7, my eye has also grown dim because of grief. So some of you have shared with me about eye problems. So you need to deal with the grief in your life, the grief of your forefathers. It seems like lately I've been getting a lot of deliverance in my life through forgiving my forefathers for things that I've been repenting of. just new things, forgiving my forefathers for things. But don't allow things in your life. Work on them till you get delivered. Thank God He's made provision. We're in covenant with Him. He pours His grace. Grace, let me see if I can see Bill Gothard's definition. Grace is the power of God to do the will of God. He gives you the power to do it. So stand up. If you've got pain in your body, ask God how it got there. If you've been into sexual sin, that could be very well be the root of your pain. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Where did my pain come in? Emotional, physical, mental, emotional, sexual. I ask for the truth that sets me free, Lord. And if you don't have pain now, look for those things. If you get angry, why did I get angry? Where did that come in? I tell you, it usually comes in mother, daddy, or generationally. Why does that bother me? Why am I fearful? Why does that make me afraid? And all you have to do is confess your sins, tell God you're sorry, forgive, break soul ties, and hey, you're delivered. So, Lord, I need the truth that sets me free. And you are the Spirit of truth. And then when you're through, just sit down and we'll do group deliverance. But don't sit down till you're through. Any problem is causing you pain. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for vexation of heart. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being hurt, angry, full of grief. Provocation and not turning to you in my grief. Sorrowing with the sorrow that leads to death. Lord, I turn to you now with the sorrow that leads to repentance. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for idolatry, turning to other things to cope, to medicate myself, to comfort myself, and not turning to you. Lord, forgive me for being a covenant breaker. And I forgive my forefathers for being covenant breakers. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not having a prospering soul. Forgive me for wanting a quick fix. Father, forgive me for not increasing my knowledge so I can increase power. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being foolish, going on in suffering, and not being a prudent person. Father, forgive me for fear of death and fear of dying. Forgive me for rejecting knowledge. Forgive me for spiritual adultery. Adultery. Committing spiritual adultery against you, Lord, my bridegroom. Leading others into harlotry. Forgive me for wickedness. Lord, I forgive my wicked forefathers. And forgive me for wickedness. You said it's wicked to not forgive. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not letting my knowledge increase. And ask me, Lord, forgive me for forgetting the God of my salvation. Not listening to your voice, not obeying you. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for being a worldly church member. Forgive me for rebellion. And Lord, I renounce this Philistine spirit. Worshiping Dagon and worshiping Ashtoreth and Ishtar And forgive me for being warlike, fighting all the time. Lord, I want to live a lifestyle of circumcising my heart. Forgive me for being your enemy. Just being religious. Being a Pharisee. Wanting attention. That's idolatry. In Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for worshiping Beelzebub. Being the religious person that concerned for the outside and not dealing with my heart. And forgive me for worshiping the beast. Unforgiveness. God, I forgive every person you've shown me. My mother, father. God, I forgive the people that have caused me grief, that has wasted away my eyes and caused my eyes to grow dim. And I forgive my forefathers. The scripture that says, he who informs on friends for a share of the spoil, the eyes of his children will languish. So, Lord, I forgive my forefathers for being greedy, for informing on friends for a share of the spoil, which has caused my eyes to languish. I forgive every person that has sexually molested me or raped me. Forgive me for seducing other people. Lord, I forgive myself for all my failures. I forgive every person that's not lived up to my expectations. Lord, the grief of divorce, the grief of being abandoned, of not being nurtured, not being loved or cared for. Lord, I forgive every person. I forgive my mother and dad that if I had to be the mommy and daddy, I had to be the caretaker, never could rest. I had to be the responsible person because they weren't. I forgive them. Lord, I yield to you. And Lord, forgive me for carrying everybody's loads. I forgive my parents for training me up to carry everybody's loads. Putting burdens on my back. I forgive my mom and dad that I could not express my feelings. I had to hold everything in. Make everybody mad. And Lord, you don't get mad when I share my heart with you. No matter how bad I am, you want to hear my heart. And so thank you, Lord, that you gave me a conscience and I don't have to let someone else be my conscience. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for physical, mental, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, being slapped around, knocked around, being rejected, controlled, never allowed to be who you created me to be. I forgive my parents for not protecting me. Forgive me for living after the flesh. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent of these things. I've been numb, dumb, sick. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to unlock my grief, and I want to sorrow with the sorrow that leads to repentance. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I remove vexation from my heart and I put pain out of my body in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of pain to leave in Jesus' name. I break, Lord, pray with me. I forgive my forefathers for everything that I've confessed. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with all of my forefathers and with every person that you've shown me that has caused me pain. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every person's body from my body. In Jesus' name, I just cut off all their private parts, all of their parts, all their demons, every demon that came in through soul ties, through ungodly soul ties, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow, hurt, provocation, go in Jesus' name. Sorrow of heart, you leave now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fear in Jesus' name. I break the power of anger, grief, sorrow, sadness. In the name of Jesus, I command the demons. I break covenants to Dagon. I break covenants to Ashkelon and Ishtar in Jesus' name. To Beelzebub, we break death covenants, blood covenants, and we command this Philistine spirit to leave us now. Fighting, warring, contention, strife, go in Jesus' name. Revenge, vengeance, go in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. We command you to go. All grief, numbness, dumbness, sorrow, bitterness, death, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of pain in the emotions, I command you to go. All spirits of bowel cancer, I command you to go. All spirits of breast cancer, I command you to go. Spirits of cancer, bitterness, get out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every wounded spirit, I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil. I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. In Jesus' name, I command that attention spirit, attention getting, get out. Theatrics, out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Religious spirits, out in Jesus' name. Wanting attention, the idol of attention, get out in Jesus' name. Pharisee spirits, get out in Jesus' name. Theatrics, get out in Jesus' name. Role playing, get out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Wounded spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of failure, get out in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits of divorce, get out. Abandonment, go. All spirits that came into the lack of nurture, not being loved or cared for or paid attention to. All spirits that came in through sexually molestation, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. In Jesus' name, I pull out pain in the neck. I pull you out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All stuffed emotions, go in Jesus' name. Fear of making somebody mad, in Jesus' name. Fear of the repercussions of speaking the truth in love. Fear of man, I break your power. All spirits of worshiping the beast, come out. All the spirits of beast, unforgiveness, go. Spirits of Freemasonry, through the rituals of Freemasonry, they were building a temple for the beast. I command the beast to go in Jesus' name. The beast, get out of their temple that came in through Freemasonry. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of Freemasonry. I nullify, make void, cancel words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, satanic rituals spoken over anybody in here or by anybody in here in Jesus' name. I break them now in the mighty name of Jesus. I break the power of bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, murder, rebellion. You have to go. Harlotry, spiritual adultery, harlotry, idolatry. You have to go. All spirits of stubborn refusal to do God's will, go. All spirits that say that we have to perform for God, get out in Jesus' name. We break the power of wickedness. We forgive our forefathers for being wicked in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through forgetting you, turning our back on you, Lord, we repent in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Go in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise your name. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. Now, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. God is perfect, and He's going to help us work on the stuff that needs to be worked on, okay? by His grace, amen. Thank you for this food. We thank you for another day of provision and food in America. Thank you for freedom in America. Thank you, Lord, it's still the best country. Lord, we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lhbc.org. www.bibleschoolonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.